All right. So I wanted to start off today with a quote. And so this is from some very wise people long ago, and you may have heard it. So quote it along with me if you've heard it, okay? So, "Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord." All right. Now I feel like a worship leader. Got my stand. Everyone's singing with me. All right. I'm a little bit less nervous now. All right. Just for your personal information, that is one of the oldest Christmas hymns we sang today. It's from, it says the lyrics were from monks written in the 12th century. So way back then, we were talking about Jesus and worshiping him. I actually really love the hymn. And I believe that we are called to worship God. And this time of year, more than others, we are reminded because of our Savior Jesus' birth. And I believe that everyone is in this room today because of Christ. And I think that is something to be worthy of worship and worthy to be adored. And I believe no matter what circumstance that outside these walls that's going on, you had made a choice today to come to the house of God. And perhaps you're searching for something. Perhaps you're expecting something, like we were talking about earlier. Maybe answers. Maybe healing. Maybe you're looking for answers that only God can give. But today, we are also here to worship at the feet of God together and to adore him. And this helps us, helps God have great power in our life. Jesus came to earth. We're reminded at every Christmas of how God's love is revealed in our lives. As we talk about the Christmas and Advent season, the question comes up, why did Jesus come to earth? I know I've asked myself that question many times, seeking answers. And to be honest, I've gotten lots of different answers through the years. But today, let's center in on some facts that Jesus shares with us in the scripture. Our reading today is from the book of Luke, Luke chapter 4. So you can open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 4 or follow along with the projection behind me. It's page 1018 of the Pew Bible. Luke chapter 4, verse 16 through 22. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went to the synagogue, and as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. So when we begin to look at this scripture in its context, chapter 3, we're starting to look back. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist and then tempted in the desert by the devil. This reading of the scroll was the first public account after these events. He had done some of those things in the countryside, but this is the first public account in the account in the Bible. But we can tell from this scripture that Jesus was known to others as they interacted with him before and after the message. And the fact that it was in his hometown made this additionally significant. People stood in disbelief that Joseph's son could be the one that proclaimed these things, and that Joseph's son would be the one to speak so well. It was not all, "Hey, great sermon, Jesus, after he did this. In fact, if you look farther in Luke 4, he states, no prophet is welcome in his hometown. They kind of didn't like that he was proclaiming these things. And the further account of this scripture highlights that Jesus was rejected by the people because of his claims. From the time of his baptism and the time in the desert, Jesus had been on a mission and preparing for his mission. And here he starts to reveal his purpose of this mission through this scripture. First, he went to the synagogue and was following the custom of his people, reading the scroll of Isaiah. There's not much known about what a first century synagogue service was like, but the scripture here focuses on Jesus reading the scroll. Jesus says that he is the fulfillment of this scripture. In the reading, it states that he is going to proclaim the good news to the poor. He's going to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And as you look at this, these are the teaching and the preaching elements of Jesus' ministry here on earth. He's saying he's going to do those things and is doing them right then. When we look at the life of Jesus here on earth, it was to help us understand truly that the power that God has given us and God's love for us. He fulfilled those roles through actions of faith, but also sermons and teachings. He taught of a love without strings or with no strings attached or without boundaries. God's love. Proclaiming the good news to the poor not only means he's teaching these lessons to those who might be there in that sanctuary, but also to those who might not be in that room. Jesus is preaching to the poor, to the economically challenged, to those who may be poor in spirit, or even the outcasts of society. No one is beyond God's love, according to Jesus. Jesus states that here he is able to recover sight of the blind. And Jesus will show that many miracles in his ministry, including healing of sight and healing of many other infirmities. But blind here is also a metaphor. In this instance, it's revelation or understanding. The question is, do we believe that God can heal us from our misunderstanding? I know that many people in the world have turned their back on God and they're bitter and have hate because of things that have been done to them. They can't see the love or don't want to be able to see the love that I'm talking about today. And we have to understand that we do not need to be healed in order to come to God for help. But in coming to God, he can do the healing that we need. So many people in this world will never take the steps necessary because they need this healing. And so we need to pray for them. We need to lift them up in prayer even more so because the circumstances sometimes that they're in, God's the only one that can even intervene. Sometimes we just have words and they don't go anywhere. But God can be there. God can be there in their hearts, even if they're someone who rejected him. God can be there in their hearts, and he can heal. To me, the highlight of this passage is that he is sent to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and to set the oppressed free. As I've looked up in many different places, the term prisoners, there are other translations, captives, and I think it says captives on your bulletin, on the front of the bulletin today. Set the captives free, are still kind of poor translations to what Luke is saying here. The whole theme of this scroll of Isaiah is release. But what did Jesus come to release? I'm pretty sure that Jesus was not staging the world's greatest jailbreak to release some prisoner somewhere. I'm pretty sure. And I'm pretty sure that he's not some sort of expert spy releasing the captives from the terrorists somewhere. Jesus came to release sins. And to release sins from people who are prisoners to sin or captives to sin. Doesn't it feel like that sometimes? That we're prisoners to our sin and that we can't get out? That we're captives and held back? There's a battle inside us of sin, and sometimes we're losing, and we need the Savior to come in and get that out of there, to forgive us, to release us, and get that job done. Jesus came and wants to forgive and restore us from our sins. And this is in direct opposition to the great tempter that Jesus was just talking to in the desert. He came right from there. He was just tempted and said, I have power over sin. Let me help people. Jesus knows that it's difficult for us to be able to battle and overcome sin, and that is why we need him on this mission to help us. Just as Jesus' example and teaching are here to challenge us to face ourselves in understanding his mission for our lives, his love is able to set us free so that we may fully live. The scripture reading is one of the most profound passages portraying Jesus as a liberator. At the synagogue, Jesus appropriated the prophecy of Isaiah 61 as an interpretation of his ministry, saying that he was sent to help those who needed him, the less fortunate, whether physical, mental, economically, or socially challenged. Jesus gives hope and restoration. He wants that for everyone. He wants to free us so that we are able to join him on his mission. Just as Jesus was on his mission, we have to recognize that we are God's body here on earth. So Jesus' mission is actually our mission. We not only have received all these blessings from God by learning of his word, receiving healing, and knowing the gospel message in our hearts, but he calls us to share it with others as well. And so I would ask you, in your life, do you leave room for God to work these miracles? Or are we so stressed and distressed by the daily grind of life that we prevent the opportunities to both receive and give these gifts that Jesus was sent for? And this Christmas season, I would encourage you, every time you see a manger scene, even an empty one, and every time maybe you hear a Christmas carol or sometime that you pick out that's special to you, that you focus and reflect on God empowering you for this mission that he has both blessed us with and also has sent you on. And as we join God on his mission, we begin to understand better what love truly is. It liberates us to be able to receive and to express love to the full. And God's love is an action as we preach and teach others, no matter their background, no matter where they are. And God's love is an action as we pray for them in healing or sit with them when they're hurting. God's love is an action as we begin to speak truth in others' lives, helping them understand that sin doesn't have to have a hold on them anymore because God is bigger than that. And Jesus died for our sins. And so I ask you all to keep praying for your loved ones that might not know the Lord. Pray for the lost. that neighbor or that friend or that random passerby stranger that God put on your heart to say, I need to pray for this person. Because we need to continue to lift people up to God and ask Him to help us on this mission, both for our own personal healing, but also to share this message to others. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much that I know you and that we know you, Lord, and that we know that you have forgiven us, and that we can enter into this mission, this life of Christianity that you have put before us, Lord. And I pray that we're able to share that message to the lost, to people who have maybe turned their back on you, to people who don't even know you, Lord. I pray for healing, healing for us in this town, this country. We need your healing, and we need to be set free so that we can love fully. We thank you so much for your son, Jesus, who you have brought to earth to help us understand you more full. That he is on and was on this mission to teach us, to heal us, and to save us. To give us freedom, Lord. Thank you so much for people in this congregation and their hearts and willingness to serve and love you. Continue to help us on our daily walk of faith with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.